Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, the show where you get the inside access to the best minds in the game. Each week, Chris has the privilege of chatting with top instructors, legendary players, course architects, and industry insiders. If you're looking to improve your game, gain a new perspective, or just hear some incredible golf stories, you are indeed in the right place.
You see, Chris, I haven't spoken to a press man in my life that is knowledgeable, seriously, as you are. Never.
You do such a great job. It kind of makes me feel good all of a sudden.
You do so much for the game. You're so kind to all of us that are out there in the game. You know, we need more people like you in the game of golf.
Thank you for pressing play. Now, grab your clubs, step up to the tee, and let's get started. This is Next on the Tee.
Hi, folks, and welcome into this edition of Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and thank you so much. You know how much it means to me that you press play and join me every week and make Next on the Tee a part of your weekly golf content. This episode is filled with great friends. Part one has plenty of good instructional tips and information, and in part two, some great hockey, football, and baseball conversation with one of the all-time great sports talk radio hosts and analysts. I'll tell you who that is in just a minute. First up is going to be PGA Master Professional John Hughes. John has been teaching the game for nearly 30 years and is one of only 455 PGA Master Professionals, which puts him in the top 1.5% of his peers. He's a top 25 instructor with Golf Tips Magazine as well, a winner of the 2023 North Florida PGA Section Teacher of the Year, and a top 100 Growth of the Game instructor. He is also the honorary president of the North Florida PGA Section. This time around, John and I talk about his brand new book that's about to come out called Instant Golf Improvement, The Six Pillars to Golf Success. So look, one of the great things about this book and about John Justin period is his approach helps us get better with the swing that we already have, so you're not changing everything. Plus some great tips that you can use right away. So the things you're going to learn tonight, you're going to be able to take those right out to the course with you. Then my next guest is a guy who's going to make it an even two dozen appearances with me here on this show. That's my good friend and Goomba, Rob Strano. Robbie is one of the most innovative instructors in the game. You'll remember him from his time hosting the Golf Kingdom TV show, where he shared creative drills that made golf improvement fun and accessible. Now he's teaching at his brand new golf academy down in Destin, Florida. Now look, Rob was a guy who played out on the PGA Tour, so he knows what it takes to make it at the very highest level in the game, and he transfers that knowledge to each and every one of his students, and every time he's a part of the show, we get a piece of that as well. We're going to dive in this time to his thoughts on fixing the FedEx Cup format. You guys know how broken that thing is. I'm anxious to get Rob's thoughts on that. We also look ahead to the Ryder Cup. Plus, he's got some great playing lessons that I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss them because they're going to be helpful to you. Just like John, he's going to give you stuff that you're going to be able to take to the course right away. Then I hope you'll come back and press play on part two. SiriusXM radio host Zig Fricassi joins me. Zig is one of the all-time great people in sports talk radio. His knowledge is second to none. He breaks down the upcoming NHL season for me, particularly what the Penguins should do with their big three, as well as how far Tage Thompson can take the Buffalo Sabres. That's from my good buddy Angelo Kane. We look ahead to the Winter Olympics as well, and he predicts who he thinks are going to be vying for the medals. We finish up with some football talk around my Steelers in the AFC North. I was stunned to learn that he's no longer a Cowboys fan, so we learn where his allegiance lies now. Plus, some also talk around the Eagles, the Bills, the Packers, things of that nature. Look, like I say, Zig's an all-timer. You're going to love his insights. So be sure to come back for part two of this episode. Folks, I'm excited to share all of their insights and stories with you. These three guys are amazing. Thank you again for being here and taking the journey with me. So let's get started. You know how I like to get things rolling by starting off and ending every show by thanking my friends over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. TribLive.com is the leading news website for Western Pennsylvania with news around the clock. Pittsburgh pro sports coverage, a high school sports network, a podcast network, which you can find Next on the Tee on. So go out and bookmark TribLive.com or download the TribLive app for free and stay up to date with all the news in Western Pennsylvania and this show. I want to welcome a new member to the Next on the Tee family, Sunday Swagger. Tired of boring golf clothes? Sunday Swagger is changing the game with premium performance apparel that delivers the look and feel of $100 polos for much, much less. Never sacrificing on style or comfort, their bold polos, shorts, and outerwear feature four-way stretch and moisture-wicking fabric that moves with you, whether you're crushing drives or crushing happy hour. With over 300 unique designs and vibrant colors, ranging from bestsellers like Jawbreaker to exclusive collaborations with Guinness, Sunday Swagger offers something for everybody. And their matching prints for couples and families with children are flying off the shelves as their most popular styles. You might even recognize Sunday Swagger designs in popular Hollywood movies and TV shows, including Happy Gilmore 2. Sunday Swagger is guaranteed to turn heads and spark conversation. Visit SundaySwagger.com and join the Sunday Club for exclusive drops and member benefits. Sunday Swagger, it's your swagger. Embrace it. Own it. And folks, this year, get ready to experience the game like you've never experienced it before at the Keep. It's the brand new Bill Bergen and Reese Jones co-designed course up at Macklemore. Nestled high atop Lookout Mountain, the Keep offers breathtaking vistas that are even more spectacular in person than they are in the pictures and the videos. With its challenging layout and awe-inspiring views, every round there is an unforgettable adventure. Whether you're taking on the signature holes or just soaking in the scenery, the Keep is where your best golf meets nature's finest backdrop. So grab your clubs and join us up at Macklemore this year. The Keep is open for preview play and it's waiting for you. But you gotta hurry now because spots and availability are filling up fast. So don't wait. Check out both courses, the Highlands and the Keep, for yourself online at themacklemore.com. And then do yourself and your buddies, or yourself and your family a solid by getting your spot reserved now. And experience distance and forgiveness all at once with the new QI35 driver from TaylorMade. QI35 is designed to give golfers more distance from more of the face while maintaining maximized forgiveness through high MOI designs. Whether you're looking for low spin and maximum workability or easy launch and plenty of adjustability, it's available in low spin, core, and max models. QI35 also has a full assortment of fairway woods and rescues to deliver distance and forgiveness throughout the top end of your bag. Check them all out online at TaylorMadeGolf.com. All right, now back in making his sixth appearance with me here on Next on the Tee is PGA Master Professional, John Hughes. Let me remind you about John's background. He earned his business degree at Appalachian State. He's been teaching the game now for almost 30 years. He's worked with everyone from beginners all the way up to tour pros. He is one of only 455 PGA Master Professionals. And let me give you some context about that. There are about 30,000 PGA professionals, so that makes John in the top 1.5% of his peers. He's also a top 25 instructor with Golf Tips magazine. In 2013, he won the Horton Smith Award for his dedication to education around the game. He was named the 2023 North Florida PGA Section Teacher of the Year. The Golf Range Association of America named him a top 100 Growth of the Game instructor. Plus, they've recognized him for his commitment to growing the game as well. He is the honorary president of the North Florida PGA Section, and I couldn't be more excited. I get to spend more time with him again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, John, how are you, my friend?
Absolutely wonderful. Chris, thanks for giving me the opportunity to be on board with you this evening.
So, John, you gave me the privilege of reading a preview edition of a book that you've written that's going to come out here soon. The title of it is Instant Golf Improvement, The Six Pillars to Golf Success. Let our listeners know about some of the things that they're going to learn when they go out and pick up the book.
Well, first thing, the title sort of speaks for itself. Over the years that I've been coaching, everybody's always looking for that magic dust, that instantaneous, hey, I've got this. And a lot of people know that just doesn't happen. But after so many years of coaching, seeing so many thousands of people come through my doors, I started recognizing there's some consistency to actually experiencing some immediacy to your improvement. So I've thought about this book years ago and finally put some time into it over the past 12 months. And what it boils down to is six things that you really need to get a hold of. number one, let's aim correctly. Number two, let's understand your yardages so you're never short again. Can you putt? Not just can you putt, can you control your putts? Can you make short putts? Can you wrap your arms around you can hit a chip shot anywhere on the golf course? Can you also wrap your head around the fact that you make some really stupid mistakes? Years ago with my son, when he was 2-3 years old, I said, Jack, do you know the difference between dumb and stupid? He says, no, Dad, what? I said, stupid knows better. There's a lot of golfers out there making mistakes that they shouldn't because they know better. And then the sixth one is just having a plan to utilize the first five and being conservatively aggressive with it. You don't have to go out right away and see 10 to 15 strokes improvement. Let's start with 3 to 5. If you're just making smarter decisions and you're learning to putt better, it's almost guaranteed that you can do that. It's a very short book. It's meant as a handbook that you can put in your golf bag and you can pull out and reference when you want to. It's meant as a really quick read of a lot of stories of the clients I've had over the years and how they influenced me as a coach and how they influenced the word instant when it comes to, hey, it can happen, but we got to be realistic about it.
Okay, so there's a lot I want to unpack there because you give us a realistic path to better with what we already have with our own games. Talk about taking a much different approach than most golf swing tip books do.
For most swing tip books are going to get real technical with you. They're going to be about how to close a club face if it's always open, how to redirect a path a certain way, how to create some shots that maybe you're not capable of as a 15 to 20 handicapper. That's all fine and dandy per se. But when it comes to what can I do right now with my current skills based on I don't practice, because that is the premise of the book. It's for the people who either refuse to practice for whatever reason, or they just don't have the time to practice. Golf's not high enough in their life priority system to have a lot of time to practice. So I love the word you use. It's realistic. It's right there in front of you. A lot of it's just making better decisions and understanding what your toolbox is at that very moment.
You mentioned the word aim a moment ago. And one of the things that immediately resonated with me in the preview edition of the book was the phrase target acquisition. Talk to us about a tip that we can use to do a better job of setting up to, picking out, and then aiming ourselves toward the intended target.
Well, I want to preface this answer by saying I've never served in the military, so it's not a military type of thing I'm trying to get to here. What this all boils down to is aiming small to miss small, but understanding what your eyes are attracted to, understanding that there's a bullseye out there every time you hit a shot, and it's your job to acquire where that bullseye is. Is it the corner of a trunk of a tree and a limb to that tree? Is it the edge of a bunker? Is it a window pane in a house a couple of hundred yards behind the green? You've got to be able to clearly identify a much smaller target and then literally let your mind wrap itself around that target versus trying to think about how you're going to swing the club to make the ball go there. It's about clearing the mind, freeing yourself up, and envisioning not only the target, but as Jack Nicklaus has famously told us numerous times, can I stand behind the ball and actually, like a movie trailer, see me hit this shot? And it's not until then that golfers will really start understanding the importance of target versus them trying to overthink how to swing.
So, John, there's a technique, obviously, with all of that, not just envisioning the shot, but then as we stand behind the ball, we see where we want to hit it. But now aligning our bodies up to make sure that we put ourselves in the best position to make the swing, to hit it on that imaginary video that you talk about, to get the ball where we want it to be. How do we transition from standing behind it, seeing it in our minds, and then aligning our bodies up properly to execute the shot.
It's nothing new. It's nothing extraordinary or mind-blowing. It's literally understanding that it's easier to aim to something in front of you than something far away. Can you envision this straight line from the far away target through the ball and pick something 2 to 3 feet in front that you're going to aim to, number one? Number two, it's the leading edge. There's so much misconception out there as to what part of the club you should be using to aim with. It's the leading edge. It's what squares everything up. The name says it all. It's leading the club into the golf ball. And if you can imagine that, once you set that down, it's being held there like a vise is holding it. It can't move. Now you got to set up to the golf club. And that's where a lot of instructors, a lot of coaches like myself, see people not fail so much as try to aim themselves. You're not trying to aim yourself. The club aim. That's where you got to aim is with the club, and you set up to the golf club. It's literally that simple. The whole premise behind the book is trying to make things simpler, not more complicated. And that's probably the most complicated thing people do before they ever swing, is try to overthink where they're aiming.
So, John, just to kind of continue to tease out what we can look forward to from you, you were letting me know before the show, this is book number one. You've got a couple. This is a series of books that are going to be coming out. Tease ahead what people can look forward to, whether it's later this month or down the road in this series that you're putting out.
Sure. And if you allow me, I got to tell a quick short story to this. I've been working on this book for probably 12 to 13 years. And had some time last year where I looked at the first 5 chapters and said, wow, this has to be a bigger book. So I literally sat down in front of my computer and started dictating into the computer for a couple of weeks, and I came up with 20 different chapters and was introduced to a literary consultant / publisher through the proponent group that I'm part of. And I was waiting. I was thinking, well, this person's going to look at it and come back to me in 2 weeks and give me a 30-minute dissertation as to why this wasn't a very good book. It was quite the contrary. The person scheduled a telephone call with me within 36 hours of receiving the manuscript and said, this isn't one book. This is actually 2 books, and I want to publish both. And I was floored. I was very appreciative of that. And as I started editing what's now the second book, and that's in the publisher's hands, we're hoping that's out before the holiday season so you can actually buy it as a set. That as I'm editing that second book, I realized I don't have 2 books. I've got 3. So the first one's all about you not wanting to practice or not having the time to practice. The second one, if you're making that decision, hey, I want to practice, but I don't know what to practice, and I love the concepts and ideas of the first book, we get heavily detailed in the second book using those same pillars as to how you go about practicing, still trying to use somewhat of an instant kind of formula while at the same time realizing it's going to take a while. And then the third book, which will come out sometime next year, I'm not sure, probably by June, is about how do you take this and translate it to the golf course? How does it apply? And what are the different things you're going to have to do that you've already done, but doing them differently? So you're not a range player, you're a golf course player.
John, I want to switch gears just slightly because there's a lot of great information and video tips that you've already put out there. You've got a wonderful newsletter, you've got a great YouTube channel. I want to talk about some of the playing lessons that you've shared on social media pages and that channel. An area that many of us struggle with is our stance, particularly with the setup to our driver. We can be uncertain with how wide to make our stance. We often hear that your feet need to be far apart for stability and to generate speed, but sometimes we get kind of confused about how wide is too wide. What's the proper way that we should judge where our feet go and to get our stance as stable and ready to generate speed as possible?
Great question. I think people with all the best intentions are trying to hit it further, and they're looking at a lot of content that myself and others are putting out there. And most of the content is about how the big drivers make big drives, how the tour players smash their driver. And they are a bit wider than most people, but you have to realize that they're in the gym constantly working on core mobility, stability. Most recreational golfers are not. We're sitting in chairs. We're sitting behind steering wheels. We're sitting behind tables and desks. So from the proper standpoint of who, what's too wide, if you can imagine your feet underneath you, and all you're trying to do is put your hands behind your back and turn forward, turn towards the target for the right-hander, you're just trying to turn your body to the left. If your right knee can touch your left knee, that's wide enough. If you cannot get that knee over there to that left side, you're probably too wide. Here's the thing to remember for most amateurs. When you go wide, you're actually making your lower body more stable. You're lowering your center of gravity. To create distance, there's got to be somewhat, there's got to be some instability. It's the instability that creates the speed. When you're so wide, you're going to swing all with your arms and hands. Can you create some speed there? Yes, but not to your potential. The real key here is balancing how wide is too wide. When you get too wide and can't get the right knee over to the left knee for the right hander, that's too wide.
John, another tip I want to get your thoughts on is when we have an uneven lie, let's say the ball's above our feet. Many times for us amateurs in the position that you talked about, we don't go out there and get to practice all these kinds of uneven lies, even if we do go to the range a lot. When we have the ball above our feet, we tend to pull hook it. What are the adjustments that we need to make with our stance, with our aim, even with our club selection that we need to make in order to execute that shot and not end up way left of our target?
Yeah, that's another great question. And I shot those videos at Omni Homestead. I'm going back there in a couple of weeks for 2 or 3 weeks of more instruction there. And it's hard to find a level piece of fairway ground there. Ball above the feet, I'm going to throw out just a common thing to start with, and that's ball position. Anytime you're faced with an uneven lie, a lie in hard pan or pine straw or leaves, it's just unusual. Start with a ball position in the middle. You may have to adjust it forward or back a little bit based on the condition you're in. But I see that as the biggest mistake that amateur golfers make. They're still trying to put ball position in a position that's relative to the club that they're using, but they don't realize they're forgetting they're not on a level lie. For the ball above your feet, the other thing to keep in mind is that ball measurably by the tape measure is closer to you, and you'll feel that, and you'll naturally want to choke down on that golf club. When you choke down on the golf club, it's not going to go as far. So you're going to have to add one more club just to reduce the loft to give it a chance. You should aim right for the right hander, left for the left hander. But again, I go back to that leading edge. If your leading edge is closed at address plus the ball above you, it's going to compound that pull hook. Make sure that club is square. Pick out a target right of where you want the ball to end up. This is where an intended target is really key versus the actual final target. You're trying to aim to the intended target to allow that curvature, allow the ball flight to come back to where you want it to ultimately end up.
John, we all know that, you know, club face and path is going to determine where the ball ends up. But talk about the role that our lead hand in our grip has with determining how well we're going to be able to square the club face back at impact.
Yeah, another great subject, and there's a lot of studies going on right now with grip pressure and lead hand positions. We're finding out more and more and more about this, but in a general sense, that lead hand is the steering wheel of the golf club. Think of it as that's the one and only connection. If you couldn't put your bottom hand on there, as you rotate your arm, you're rotating the face of the golf club, and most people forget that. So having the ability to put your hands on the golf club in the most neutral position possible, which I always have people understand what's your neutral arm hang. If you were just let your arms naturally hang to your side, most people's arms are hanging at an angle relative to their body. all you're trying to do is put the club in that lead hand at that angle and then secure it in the fingers as much as you can, which a lot of the studies now are saying, look, you're an amateur golfer. The tightest you ever hold that club is when you bring it back. And as you continue to bring it back, you're letting go of it. So that's what makes this even more crucial as far as where that hand position is. What I'm doing a lot now with amateurs is trying to have them understand the importance of not only the position, but their strength on the grip. So they can maintain the steering wheel throughout the swing. They're not letting go and just letting the club go wherever it's going to go based on how they're swinging.
John, you mentioned putting a little while ago, and we often ignore the fact that putting is probably a place where we can knock several strokes off our scores, because three putts are killers. And for those of us that are out there trying to break a milestone score, whether we're trying to break 100 or 90 or 80, we often leave strokes on the table because we three putt so often. What are some keys for us to become better putters?
I think the big thing with three putting is understanding what the main cause of three putting is, and that is your lack of distance control with your first putt. It's not that you've missed the putt left or right. It's that you left it significantly short or significantly long. And now you're faced with a putt that you typically don't practice, whether it's 5 to 10 feet or more. And now the pressure of putting it in to save the par or even save the bogey just increases the fact that you may get anxious over that putt. Distance control is where this is all about. Can you learn to control your distances? And what most people do is do a ladder drill. It's a very common drill amongst us coaches to provide you. Where I want you to start the ladder drill is putting the middle rung of the ladder at your average length first putt. You can do that with a lot of the statistical packages out there, but the easier way is just pace off what that first putt is. And if you're averaging 33 feet, 42 feet, whatever it is, that's where you should start practicing your distance control. And the thing that I tell people is getting it close is fine, but that's typically why you're too far away. This goes back to target orientation. With every putt, can you think about making it? What do you have to do? What's the process? What's the setup? What's the stroke have to feel like to make it? When you're trying to make it, you're going to miss closer more often than, say, if you're trying to get it close. But it's distance control that causes that three putt. So you can practice all the three footers you want, but if you're still 6-8 feet away, you're unprepared to prevent the three putt.
You send out a wonderful newsletter to your email subscribers with, like I mentioned earlier, you've got great lessons, great tips that are in there. Talk about the things that you include in your monthly newsletter and how people can go out and sign up for it.
Sure. I appreciate that opportunity. And I've got to give kudos to my bonus daughter, Lauren Griffin, who does a lot of the work with that. I supply her the content. She puts it together to make it attractive and readable. And we try to do a lot of things in that email, recognize our clients' accomplishments every month. I just accumulated every month and put a blog post out about who's doing what, whether it's a milestone score, an all-time career low, winning a tournament, making a hole in one, reducing a statistical category. It doesn't matter. We like to let everybody know that our clients are fulfilling themselves. They're getting results from their time spent with us. The blog posts are typically themed, and we put those out there a lot. The short videos that go along and the long form videos that go along with the blog posts are there. From time to time, I'll have somebody submit an idea and I might write a second blog post. And then we're always trying to provide some inspiration. And years ago, every Monday, I had a quote of the week where I knew for at least 7 years, if I found somebody famous with a really good quote on a Monday, maybe I could inspire someone. And Lauren's taken that beyond just quotes. She's really made that shine. And we get a lot of engagement through that. I get a lot of compliments back on that as far as, hey, this this got me over the top last weekend. Your thought about this or thought about that really helped me out. It is something that we take a lot of pride in, and try to make it regular and try to make it as engaging as we can for the people that are reading it. If you're wanting to receive it, it's very, very simple. Send me your email address. I'm at john at johnhughesgolf.com. We do push it out on social media, and there's links to the various channels we're on, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X. Just click on those links. It'll take you to a form, fill out the form, and you're part of the mailing list.
And let people know how they can find you online and on social media as well.
Yeah, John at John Hughes Golf is my email, johnhughesgolf.com, the web address. My guys there are doing a wonderful job of keeping that engaging and attractive and very simple to navigate. If you use a hashtag, an ampersand, whatever it is, it's John Hughes Golf. That's the way to find me online. And by all means, I hope you spend more time on my YouTube channel. I'm close to some milestones there and need a little help. So if you go to youtube.com/John Hughes Golf, as you said before, and I appreciate the compliment, there's a wealth of information, some really good videos that we produce all in-house. I do not have outside people that I hire to do that. It's all in-house, and we're very proud of what we put together for golfers around the world.
And remind everybody one more time, John, the title of the book and when you expect it, sometime, you know, in the neighborhood of when you expect that to be available.
And I want to thank you for the inaugural tease. By the way, Chris, this is the first time I'm teasing it. I'm hope I'm not jinxing myself too much. Instant Golf Improvement is the name of the book. It should be available on Amazon and in print, and through the website Instant Golf Improvement, which is being revitalized, redesigned. Hopefully everything will be launched by September 30th, if not earlier. And as soon as we have some hard dates, we're going to let the world know through our social channels, our newsletters, as much as we're going to shout it out like Pied Pipers, because we really believe in what the book can present to the average golfer.
And having read a preview of it, I believe in it as well. So I'll be part of those Pied Pipers, you know, letting everybody know when it's available, where they can go get it, and reminding everybody, hopefully here in a week or two when it is available. John, you're outstanding, my friend. I can't thank you enough for all that you've meant to me and this show over the years, and for your friendship and also the great content that you share each and every time you come on the show, plus the great stuff that you allow me to read. I like this book, plus your newsletter, and then out on the YouTube channel. You're one of the greats in our game. I can't thank you enough for being generous with your time tonight.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Chris. It's always a pleasure sharing with your audience. And this is one of the things I look forward to, spending some time with you as much as I can throughout the year.
I appreciate you, my friend. All the best to you and your family. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Same to you, sir.
See you, John. That's the great John Hughes, folks. Again, one of the 1.5% of PGA professionals that is a PGA master professional. It's a 3-part series that we're going to get the delight of learning and reading when that comes up. But again, it starts out with Instant Golf Improvement, the 6 pillars to golf success. He speaks directly to us, right? You heard John talk about, for those of us that don't have the luxury of having a lot of time to go out and practice, he's going to give us some tips that can help us work with what we have to get better throughout all of the courses of the game, right? Driver, fairway shots, uneven lie shots, putting, chipping, all of those sorts of things. He's going to help us get better. And on top of, you know, what John is going to share with us, as you learned throughout the course of the conversation, he's just an outstanding individual. So he's going to put in layman's terms, he's going to help us get better, and he's a joy to be around. John at johnhughesgolf.com is where you can send him an email, or at johnhughesgolf is where you're going to find him on social media and on YouTube. Folks, go out and take a look at the YouTube channel. A lot of free content available for you there that you can also take on your phones and take to the practice range to help your game get better. I look forward to when the book gets released. I'll certainly let you know. I'll be one of those Pied Pipers to let you know when it is available and how you can go get it. And then we'll get John back on the show because I think volume number two is going to come out very shortly after volume one hit. So we'll try to get him back on the show and talk about that one as well. Okay, coming up next is my Goomba Rob Strano. Before Rob joins me, I want to remind you about our friends over at On Point Golf and their out of this world On Point Golf Ball Marker. And if you don't have one, folks, you really need to go check it out at onpointgolf.us. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only three-dimensional ball marker out there. With alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with On Point, engage with your three-dimensional ball marker, and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thongchai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023 and they were using an on-point ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use On Point ball markers. Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. I also want to remind you about our wonderful friends over at Squares Golf.
So Nick here. What if there was a golf shoe embraced by hundreds of thousands of golfers, celebrated for its stability, comfort, and distance? What if this shoe earned the title of most technologically advanced golf shoe by Sports Illustrated? And what if the company behind that shoe spent the last year perfecting a brand new category of golf footwear? Well, the what if is here. Introducing the all-new Pro S2 LT by Squares, a new class all of its own, the perfect blend of lightweight comfort and stable performance. You'll notice the difference. Change your shoes, change your game. Squares.
I also want to give a special shout-out to our wonderful friends over at the Pittsburgh Brewing Company. Their pumpkin ale is back, folks. It's the number one selling pumpkin beer in Western Pennsylvania and incredibly popular everywhere their beer is sold. Why? Because it's everything you love about beer disguised as everything you love about homemade pumpkin pie. Go online to PittsburghBrewing.com to check that one out. Plus, there are other great beers, including the Blockhouse Blueberry Wheat, along with my family's favorites, Iron City and Icy Light, of course. Plus, make plans to attend Oktoberfest on Saturday, September 13th and Saturday, September 27th. Tickets are on sale now at PittsburghBrewing.com. All right, now back in making it an even two dozen times with me here on Next on the Tee is another one of the all-time great instructors in our game and my Goomba, Rob Strano. As you know, Rob hosted the Golf Kingdom TV show for several years. I hate the fact that it's no longer on the air because of all the innovative ways that Rob helped us improve our games and the creative drills that he shared with us. You can still go watch the episodes out there on the Golf Kingdom's YouTube channel. You can find Rob at his brand new golf academy down in Destin, Florida. Go check it out for yourself on his Instagram page, folks, and that is at the Golf Kingdom as well. Rob is one of the most innovative guys on the instruction side of our games. He played out on tour for several years, so his expertise on what it takes to make it out on tour or to play your best golf or have the right mindset puts him at the top of the charts of instructors, and I couldn't be more honored. He is back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. My Goomba. Hey, Robbie, how are you, my friend?
Knock, knock, Chris.
Who's there?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, who?
I thought you were a Steelers fan.
Of course
Aaron
I
Rodgers,
am.
The guy that got you the win the other day. I got to talk to Tomlin about this whole thing. What in the world? Chris, the biggest Steelers fan I know. Aaron Rodgers, who?
Huh? How about that guy, right? They said he's too old. He can't do it anymore. Look at him go.
Look at him go is right. They got you a win on opening day when it looked pretty bleak.
It certainly did. That our defense was horrible. We learned nothing from last season, but Aaron Rodgers to the rescue. Thank God.
Amen to that. And what a great time of the year it is. You know, we've got football season going. My Florida State Seminoles are rolling. Everything looks perfect in my world. And here I am once again with my favorite Italian brother. We're talking golf. Let's go, Chris.
Indeed. All right. When we were talking a couple of weeks ago, thinking ahead to this segment, you gave me kind of a little teaser that you've got a fix for the FedEx Cup. So when I think about the FedEx Cup, I think the thing has been broken since its inception. What do you think they've got to do in order to fix it?
It's a real simple fix in my mind. You know, they keep talking about it being the culmination and the Super Bowl, the playoffs, and all the stuff. And they're close. I mean, how they arrive at the 30 players that end up at Eastlake, I think you're doing a good job there of getting the 30, you know, best guys you can to get there over the course of the season. Now, here's where it gets fun once you get to Eastlake. So 30 players, Eastlake. They play Thursday and Friday, all 30. On Friday, you cut to the low 20 players on the number. What's one of the most fun things out there that nobody knows about, which is the Monday qualifiers and the playoffs every week to get in a tour event? You have a playoff on Friday to cut to the number to proceed to Saturday. Only 20 guys go, 10 go home. Bye-bye. Now you got great theater on a Friday. Everybody wants to see, you know, if you got three guys for one spot or four guys for one spot, that's big time money on the line trying to get the Saturday golf. We arrive at Saturday with 20 players. Okay.
Yeah.
20 players play on Saturday. Saturday evening, you cut to the low 10. No tie.
Okay.
So imagine now you've got two guys for one spot, or once again, four for one, to get to the Sunday big kahuna event. It is the Super Bowl. There's only 10 guys. There's five twosomes that are going to get to play on Sunday for all the marbles. So you have a Saturday potential playoff cut to 10 guys. Sunday you show up, five twosomes, all at Eastlake. Going to be very much like a Ryder Cup then, because all your fans are going to be in mass around five twosomes on the golf course. You're going to have 5-10 deep around this golf course trying to watch all these groups, just five groups. But this is the big culmination, right, Chris?
Yeah, with you.
We're not playing 18 holes on Sunday.
Oh.
We're playing 36.
Wow, okay.
All day. We're going to find out who's mentally tough enough, who's physically fit enough, and who can play it 36 holes for all the marbles. Right there. That's it.
Okay.
Five groups, 10 players, playing for everything on Sunday. 36 holes.
So I like it conceptually. I'm with you. Here's where I have a little bit of a hard time, Rob.
Let me ask, what do you got?
Because, I mean, look, we all like a Cinderella story, you know, can come from out of nowhere, right? That wins the tournament. That wins the whole thing. But when I look at, you know, the FedEx Cup is supposed to be a season-long chase, if you will, kind of like in NASCAR.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood got over the hump and he won the Tour Championship and, you know, won the FedEx Cup. He's a guy who had never won on U.S. soil. The guy that was in second was Patrick Cantlay. He hasn't won since 2022. Look, Scotty Scheffler won five times in two majors and he lapped the field in FedEx Cup points. And he doesn't win the Tour Championship? I mean, on some level, Rob, I mean, you know, I like the idea of a concept of a tournament the way you've laid it out. I think it's outstanding. I just don't like the idea that somebody could beat Scotty Scheffler in a season-long, quote-unquote, chase to get there to win the Tour Championship. I don't know. I'm struggling with that concept.
Yeah, no, I agree. But once again, if you think of any season-long culminates to a cluster from there of teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, the NFL is going to play, you know, way too long a season in my mind for these poor guys. And you get down to a cluster of teams and that begins your winnowing away to get down to, you know, the NFC, AFC championship. So that's my look at it. And you can look at it in any sports kind of way, you know, the Major League Baseball added extra wild card teams, stuff like that.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm a traditionalist there. Give me the two division champions. And let's go.
Right.
But you know, I understand the finances behind it. But right. Same thing there. You know, you have the whole season, and you're adding these wild card teams. that don't necessarily have a chance. But once again, it gives you a chance for that Cinderella, that Fleetwood to, you know, go all the way to the end of the season, which is what we're talking about, a season long. If it's season long, it's from the first tee shot to the last tee shot.
Yep. No, I know, I get it. As you mentioned in baseball and football, look, the 9-7 Giants beat the 18-0 Patriots, right, to win the Super Bowl. So in that same vein, I like what you're talking about here. So I think it's a great idea. Something needs to change because this year was a disaster, and I think it's been a disaster since it started. So something's got to change.
That's why I like the 36-hole last day concept.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that got ruined in U.S. Open qualifying is U.S. Open qualifying used to be 36 holes at the local before you went to the sectional. And that got rid of a ton of guys because you have that one guy that had a hot morning round and went out in the afternoon and shot, you know, 80 because he couldn't deal with the stress.
Yeah.
Same thing here. Who can deal with the stress of 36 holes? That's a lot of golf in a day. But if you're playing for $10 million, show me you're mentally tough enough, physically tough enough, and can do it for 36 holes. And now you've got a big crown to wear at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the concept of putting it out that way. So I think you're on to something good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it won't go anywhere, but it's fun to talk about. And the thing is, I'm talking about it as a past player, too.
And
I'm not just talking about it as a commentator, you know, a golf writer, a blah, blah, blah person. I'm a past player, and I always look at things as, if I was the player, what would I think of this?
Yeah.
And as a player, I would love 36 holes last day. Let's see who the big fishes are here. Who can't make it that long with the stress of it and all the fans on top of you from 8 in the morning till 5 in the evening?
Yeah, no, I love it. Let's take a little different spin to it, though, Rob. Does the PGA Tour even need a playoff system and a culminating tournament? I think a lot of golf fans feel like the professional golf season ends on the 72nd hole of the Open. And I'm not too sure that they're wrong, because at that point, people are on to football with training camps opening in July and that sort of thing. And I'm not sure anybody really cares who wins the tour championship anyway, because it seems like in golf history, the only thing that matters is how many majors have you won. Sam Snead is rarely ever brought up in the discussion of who the greatest golfer is of all time. And he and Tiger tie with the most PGA Tour wins ever. So do we need it at all? Does it need to be something that the PGA Tour does every year?
I think in the right iteration it is, Chris. I like the idea of, you know, the BMW Championship and the FedEx at Southwind and the BMW moving around. I like that whole thing. I think they do it at the wrong time of the year. I think the whole thing needs to be an October event, not an event where, you know, you're cooking in Atlanta in late August. I think you add in, you know, a few more events, or you take a break, whatever. But I think you need it. I like the way it does it. I think East Lake's a great venue for it, especially after the redesign. I'm a fan of it. I like it. I just don't like the iteration of it. And at least they got rid of giving the guy the head start with the shots. I always put that going, geez, we're tour players. We don't get shots. And I'm like, you know, if Scotty Scheffler said, hey, Rob, let's go play a little golf. I said, I'd love to play, Scotty. Let's go have some fun. And he said, let's play a little match. Let's play a $20 Nassau. And he said, I'll give you four a side. I'll go, no, thanks. Play. Now, is he going to beat me? Probably. Okay.
Yeah.
But is he younger than me? Yeah, but I'm not taking shots.
Yeah,
just not. I'm always will be at heart a tour player.
Yep. All right, so let's take a different bent here, and on the opposite
side. By the way, I'm not playing the tips though.
No. You're gonna play the up tee. You're not gonna take the strokes, but you're moving up.
I'm moving up now. Funny line that I live by now, thanks to my good buddy David Ogren. We were playing at Cog Hill last summer. And of course, in Chicago, everybody knows Ogie, and the starter knew him. And we were standing there chatting, get ready to go off on dubs and play. And the starter says, David, you going to the tips? Where are you playing from today? And Ogie looked at him and he said, you know what? I don't need to see the whole thing anymore. I'm like, that's the greatest line ever.
That is a great line.
We spent our entire lives playing 1 foot off the back edge. We don't need to see the whole thing anymore.
All right, so let's take a different spin here, because on the opposite side of the excitement coin for me is the Ryder Cup. We've got that coming up here in a few weeks. How excited are you to watch these matches?
I'm really looking forward to it. I think when you look at the way the teams stack up, man, the lineup on the European side is just a murderer's row of players who have played well all year. And our side, we've got some guys whose form has been anything but stellar. And I love the new young guys that we've got. The swap out I would have made, I would have loved to see Maverick McNealy play. I mean, he was seventh in points, I think. So, you know, Keegan made a good point. He said, you usually don't make your first Ryder Cup as a captain's choice. And it's interesting. But boy, I'd sure love to have his putter on those greens up there, because, you know, the thing that's driven me crazy, and at my indoor studio all day, I've got XM PGA Tour playing in the background. And if I hear one more guy talk about how important length is at Bethpage in the Ryder Cup, I'm going to have a come apart. Because you know what? They all hit it far enough. And you know what wins Ryder Cups? The teams that putt the best
and the
teams that chip in the most.
Yep.
100%. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, agreed.
That's it right there.
Agreed.
If you can't putt it, it doesn't matter how many thousands of yards you hit it past a Justin Rose. If he makes every key putt he's got to make.
Yeah, and that's typically how they've beat us, right? I mean, it's they're putt the eyes out of it, and we can't. And, you know, yeah. Do we have an advantage, perhaps, maybe a little, with some of the guys that maybe they can bomb it just a little bit further? Yeah, maybe. But at the end of the day, when we go over there and lose, it's because they've let the greens get a little shaggier than we're used to. It slows them down, and they putt the eyes out of it, and then we struggle. To me, that is 100% the difference between the two teams.
Exactly, without a doubt. And I always laugh at them talking about how important experience is. And I think that's just the most comical comment ever in a Ryder Cup, because we lost all those years because we kept picking experienced players. Well, here's the thing. Here's the deal. They all had bad experience. I mean, they were all just traumatized. They had losing records, but they had experience. Here's what I hate to tell these guys that are making these choices and they're basing it on experience is, every player that's in the conversation is a world-class player, and they're tough enough, if they're in the conversation, to be able to handle the stress of a Ryder Cup. A Maverick McNealy wouldn't raise my heart rate one bit if I picked him as a captain choice. Not one bit. The guy's won on tour. Look, if you can win on the PGA Tour, you can handle a Ryder Cup, especially on your home soil, without a doubt. And even on foreign soil, you're going over there, you're a world-class player, and you're a man. You're not a mouse. The mistake we make when we look at how these guys are going to respond in a Ryder Cup is we superimpose how we would feel, how this writer would feel is how he's writing. He's going, I'm going to take how I would feel and superimpose it on a Maverick McNealy and go, that's how he's going to feel. Oh, no, he's not. These are big, strong men with lots of ego, lots of attitude. And I'll tell you what else they got. They got way more confidence than everybody that's writing about the Ryder Cup combined when it comes to golf.
Rob, just a couple more before I let you go. In the blink of an eye, fall's going to be here, and people will start migrating down south for the winter. And like I mentioned in your intro, you've got a fantastic new golf academy down there in Destin, Florida. You got all the bells and whistles, all the great technology. The place looks fantastic. Let our listeners know about all the great stuff that you have available. Like I say, not only from a technology perspective, but you're there. You've got our good friend Courtney Weber there. Talk about all the things that are available for people to get their game where they need it to be this fall.
Well, here's one of the key things that you're seeing in golf, and you're seeing it everywhere too. If you're following major sports on like an Instagram, you see baseball teams, football teams, everybody's got an indoor training complex. You're watching these baseball players hitting off a batting tee indoors, pitchers indoors, throwing with all the tech there. That's where golf training is going. Whether it's an indoor facility at an outdoor location or a pure indoor facility like mine, or like a lot of the top coaches have. Most top coaches are gravitating to this because of several main reasons. Number one is total controllability. Here's what I mean. You're hitting a brand new golf ball. You're hitting it from a perfect line with perfect data. The environment isn't disturbing what we're doing. I can make you better, faster, quicker. All the training aids are there. The technologies are there. We're not guessing at what you're doing. One of the big pieces of technology I've got is Motion to Coach. It is the most sophisticated golf swing analysis software in the world, accurate to less than a millimeter. Once you start moving, it is measuring every little thing you do, and I can show you where you started and where you are. Are you improving? How much you're improving? And we can measure it, analyze it, and show you where you're going. We're not guessing and saying, oh, we're not turning our hips. Oh, you're turning your hips too much. Oh, you're sliding too much. No, here's the measurement. For example, I had a guy that watched his video come up before the data come up in Motion to Coach was on the screen. And he said, oh, I'm not turning at all. And I turned and put a crooked stare at him. And I went, you're not turning. He goes, no, look at that. I'm not turning. My turn's terrible. I said, interesting. Let's see what the data tells us. So the data comes up. The data shows he has 68 degrees of hip turn and 110 of shoulder turn. Now, normal numbers are 45 and 90. But what he saw was he's got tight shoulders, so his arm swing wasn't very long. The club wasn't reaching parallel. I had to show him, no, you're just twisting. The arms aren't going anywhere. We had to resequence his swing. Once we did that, the turn numbers came down. The arm swing went up, and he started hitting it 15, 20 yards farther.
Wow. There you go. Rob, let our listeners know how they can also follow you online and over social media as well.
I'm you know, in a small little corner on social media, I've got an Instagram page there. You can follow me at The Golf Kingdom, which is the name of my TV show. It's kind of what I am. I am a kingdom unto myself in the game of golf. So, you know, I'm Italian. We are kingdom people. And so that's where you find me on Instagram, YouTube. They're at The Golf Kingdom. That's where you find all the TV shows over six seasons. We had a lot of fun doing that. And I miss doing it. Like you said, we had a good crew. We had lots of fun, lots of creative stuff we did. And it's fun to have it out there. We're late to YouTube. We were early to streaming. And then when streaming became big, Roku and Amazon dropped us because we were small channels. They couldn't monetize in a big way. We're late to YouTube. We've got very few subscribers to the channel, but it's fun. If you want to go out and watch it, you can catch it there. But, you know, I enjoy what I do in the game. I love my indoor spot. It's 70 degrees every day. I don't need bug spray. I don't need sunscreen. Our players love it. They're coming from all over to be in there, and we're making players better, faster. We've got the well-putt putting platform, which tips and moves. And so we practice on this perfect platform to groove putting strokes. And that helps our players when they go outside. If they got the speed right, the read right, the mechanics right, and the ball doesn't go in, they just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, huh, wasn't my fault. That's the green's fault.
Kind of the Jack Nicklaus approach. I never missed the putt.
It's just facts. It's just big facts. We train in the perfect. We groove these putting strokes. And if they're, like I said, reads are good, speed's good. We know the mechanics are good. When I played at the stadium course 3 weeks ago, you know, if I missed a putt there, I shrugged my shoulders and went, oh, misread the grain maybe. Or, you know, someone put their big clodhopper footprint in the way as I, you know, was, you know, I couldn't see that. And it just kind of knocked it offline. But it just helps you, you know, detox your brain. You don't get frustrated so fast about missing a putt.
I love it. Rob, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show for, like I say, this is time number 24. I can remember all the way back when it was time 13 and you were wanting to get off of the unlucky 13. Boy, that seems like 100 years ago. I'm glad we're up to 24 and I'm already looking to 25.
I'm already looking forward to it. Also, always great to visit with you. You do a fantastic job. I know all the listeners appreciate all the hard work you put in. You're well decorated and awarded, rightly so for it. And on top of it, you're my Italian compadre, my paisan, my brother.
There you go, Goomba.
Doesn't get any better than this.
Indeed. Take care, my friend. All the best in your family. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
You too. Thanks for having me, Chris.
See you, Rob. That's a great Rob Strano, folks. At the Golf Channel is where you can find him on social media. And again, go out there and check out the show out there on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. One of the great things about Rob is he's very innovative. He thinks outside the box and he helps us with a lot of stuff that you can do at your own house, right? In your home, in your backyard, things that you can do to hone your swing, hone your putting stroke, and get better. And then look, if anybody listening is going to be going down south in and around the Destin area, you got to go find his academy and go check it out. First of all, it's not a place where you need to have a membership or things of that nature. You can go in there, see Rob, see what he's got to offer, check out the academy, get signed up for lessons and instructions, because Rob's going to make you better immediately. That's what we're talking about on the show tonight. We talked about in the first segment with John Hughes. What can you do to go shave some strokes off and be better quickly with what you have? Rob is going to take what you have and enhance it and take you to the next level. He's just one of the great people in our game. He's super positive. I think you can hear that in his voice tone every time he comes on the show. He's super positive, super fun, and he's going to make the game even that much better for you, and you're going to enjoy it and get more out of it and play better and score better as well. Looking forward to having Rob on for the 25th time, hopefully here with not too much into the future. We'll try to get him back on here in the next couple of months. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on part one of this week's show. My sincere thanks again to John Hughes and Rob Strano for making it so much fun for me in that segment. I hope you guys really enjoyed it as well, and I hope you'll come back for part two, because one of the all-time great sports talk radio hosts, Zig Fracassi, is going to join me. We'll talk hockey and football and baseball. We'll also get into a couple other things as well, but this guy is a guy who, to me, deserves to be in every announcer, broadcaster, Hall of Fame there is, and how he doesn't have a million followers out on social media is just something I cannot understand. You need to follow him at Zig Sports Voice. Again, at Zig Sports Voice is where you'll find him out there on Twitter. For everything that you want to know about what's going on in all of sports, there's nobody better. There's no better reference than Zig Fracassi. Folks, thank you so much, as always, for making Next on the Tee a part of your weekly golf content. I appreciate each and every one of you so very much. Until next time, hit 'em straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on Trib Live or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.